Coronavirus, shit is real. Coronavirus, shit is real. Okay, that was actually me, Michelle, doing that because I don't want to pay the Cardi B money in order to actually get that sound clip because now it's a viral song, but that's a whole other conversation. So today, I thought that it would be fun to share a recap episode of 2020. And if there is a song or a soundbite that kind of encapsulates this year, that would be the one. So, haha, it's okay. You can laugh at me. I'm having fun. But seriously, if there was a soundtrack to this year, wow, you know what? I should actually create a soundtrack to this year. Oh my God, I so am going to do that. I'll include a link to my soundtrack to 2020 at the end of the show notes. So in order to go to the show notes, you'll go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/2020recap. And so, I'm like so excited to share my soundtrack for this year. No one has ever said that life was easy, but 2020 has really been a test of our sanity, our beliefs, and who we are as people. As an American, it has also been one of the most heartbreaking and honestly disappointing experiences that I've had as a citizen of this country. And that's saying something because I am Black. I've had to let go of a lot of people, spaces, and places in order to stay true to my core values and beliefs. I've also learned during the course of doing that actually I'm pretty consistent, that I've been living a life for a long time now that's pretty consistent with how I think about things. I've also voted with my dollars, supported local businesses, and quite honestly, stayed away from people who will throw me under the bus for whatever reason that they may have. And I'm referencing throw me under the bus for money. In a year where we have to remind people that Black lives matter too, science saves lives, lies kill, I found myself in the confusing reality of actually thriving when so many were not. I made more money, I paid off debt, I enjoyed nature, and I found myself constantly asking the following questions to myself. How can I be true to myself? How can I be of service? How can I continue focusing on my goals? And how can I do all of these things when the sky feels like it's falling down all around me? For those of you in other Western countries listening to this episode, please remember actually that these thoughts were being had with the backdrop of historic protests, fascism, a contentious election, a one-time $1,200 stimulus payment with a good luck and kick me sign slapped onto our backs here in the United States, and hundreds of thousands of Americans dead from COVID. It would not surprise me that by the time I release this episode, we'll hit 300,000 people dead from basically a somewhat preventable virus, because all you have to do is social distance, wear a mask, and wash your freaking hands. But there are a lot of people who just don't believe in science or don't give a shit. I'm going to share my past experience of this year. Excuse me, I'm not really going to edit this too much. From the perspective of personal life, including health, money, entrepreneurship, and my dreams. So personal life. The older I get, the more I find myself thinking about friendships, community, and connection. This is something that I've talked about quite a bit in the past, but this year in particular, I just had a lot of time to think about it, right? And as I've gone through my long-term debt repayment journey, I've changed, like on a personal level, I've changed. This should not be surprising to anyone. You change when you do things like this. I went from constantly being stressed out, not being able to do things, to being a lot more chilled out and having the opportunity to do things with my family and friends. The irony, though, is on the journey that I was on, like along this journey, I've actually lost some friends along the way because I just wasn't at the stage or place that they were at the time that they moved on from me. Likewise, I've moved on from other people. It's just how human relationships work. Like we change and grow, or we just move forward, or we just don't have enough time with the people that we love. There are people that I love, 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 but because of time and distance, we can't connect as deeply as I think it is needed to sustain friendships. And that's hard. That's a hard thing. Then COVID hit and I found myself by myself as I hunkered down during 3 months of quarantine from March until May. Let's be clear though, as an only child, I actually was pretty fine. Like I had plenty to do. I have 17 years of being a kid, only child, doing my thing. And I've actually talked to other people who are only children. They're like, yeah, we got plenty going on. So for those of you who worry about only children, we're good. Like, and I'm an extrovert. We're good. Like, I was totally fine. But during lockdown, during quarantine, I just sat there thinking about my role in the friendships and relationships that I have or had. And I had to ask myself some really honest questions. Was I present enough in those friendships and relationships? Did I check in enough with my friends and family, like authentically, so that they knew that I really cared? Did I show up in a way that showed people that I cared? Did I understand what my friends and family's love language is? So my mom, in particular, her love language is service. She gets the one kid who really doesn't need for her to do much. Like, I don't need my mom to do a lot for me. Like, I don't. I'm pretty independent. But I've understood over time that I need to figure out things for her to do so she feels like she's doing stuff for me, because that's her love language. And she enjoys it. And it makes her happy. So I've learned to do things in order to kind of facilitate that. She doesn't know, unless she listens to this episode, which I doubt, because I don't think she's listened to any of my shows. But kind of being aware of love language, I also understood that my love language is time. It always has been. And I think as I focused on creating my best life, it should not be lost on people that I focused on what? My time. What would I do with people? How would I hang out? What would I do for myself? How would I be of service to others? So I thought about that a lot. And I felt like I needed more time. And it's interesting because there were a lot of people this year who, if they were fortunate enough to sit down and kind of reflect on this, we're having that conversation with themselves. And I think for some people, it was a very challenging internal conversation. How am I present for others and how am I present for me? Did I know what was going on with my friends and family? And was it clear to them that they could have deep conversations with me when they needed to? So I don't know that they, meaning the people in my life, were always clear that I was available to have the harder conversations, whether it was because they just needed someone to listen or just because they needed me to hear something that maybe I didn't want to hear. Whatever it was, I asked myself that question. Basically, this year has been an opportunity for some really deep reflection and checking in. I haven't liked all of the answers that I came up with. And that's a good thing. It means that I'm not, you know, being fake with myself. Some of what I've reflected on has been painful, but it's been really necessary. And one of the things that has come up over and over again is I need more people in my life. Despite everything, I've made new friends. Excuse me, a little hiccup there. Every time I do an episode, I've made new friends and acquaintances, and I've embraced an opportunity locally to also deepen my connection to my local community as I continue to stay in my hometown for at least another year. So initially, my thought was at the beginning of 2020, my goal was to go overseas at this time of year. So I was hoping to go abroad for November and December, maybe January, and really spend time away from the U.S. I'd been wanting to do this for a while. I've done it many times. I decided to pay off my debt, the majority of my debt, before doing it again. And with COVID, clearly it was not an ideal time to make those kind of choices. And so instead I did something else. Instead, I went on a number of staycations here in my state. You know, I love Colorado, so it wasn't a hardship at all. So I had the chance to go to Salida. If you guys have never heard of Salida, definitely check it out. I've been there before, but I had a beautiful stay at the Stay Amigo Lodge, which is a local lodge here in the town of Salida. It's so cool. And they have Airstreams. And that was actually great because I didn't want to stay in spaces that were shared at that time. I went to Breckenridge a few times, Colorado Springs. I did a 3-day backpacking trip with a hiking group that I joined this year in the Rocky Mountains. And those trips really helped keep me sane. But I definitely traveled a little differently this year than I have in years past. You will be surprised to know, however, that I did stay in three different shared spaces, which now I won't be doing. So I think now that I really understand how COVID is spread and just how the air droplets work and all that kind of thing, and really paying attention to studies out of, sorry about that noise, studies coming out of Korea in particular, I am being very careful about being in spaces with shared air and airflow. So I will not be doing that again until after I get the vaccine, which I'm thinking of getting in the summer of this year, because I'm going to travel abroad. And quite frankly, I've worked in immigration. It is very, very, very likely that other countries are going to mandate that you get vaccinated before you can visit and have proof of it, similar to the yellow vaccination card that everybody has. So it's my view that that's going to be the standard moving forward. So just heads up. Sadly, I have not been able to visit my grandmother and other relatives, many of whom live in another state or other states. And I'm really angry about this. I'm really angry that because of so many assholes, I just can't take the risk. I can't take the risk with my grandma and my other relatives. And so that's been really, I'm enraged and I'm trying to stay calm as I say this, but I'm really pissed off. Dating life. Yes, that's a weird segue, but hey, I might as well segue to that. I haven't really dated necessarily during this time, but I have definitely met a lot of people. There have been a lot of guys hitting on me, like more in this year than in any other year. And it's been great. They've been really nice guys. And I think that 2021 could be the year that I meet the one. I think he's been hiking a lot, and that's okay because I like to hike too. But I think the reticence around like approaching people has really just gone to the wayside, and people are like, either she's up for it, she's not. And I've become a lot more, I don't know, easygoing about everything. I'm just like, hey, I survived pandemic, whatever. Like, if you're gonna hit on me, that's like more power to you. I'm gonna say yes or no. Or, you know, hey, you don't live in Denver. I'm getting people who don't live in Denver, which is problematic. That's been the big issue. I'm not excited about long distance thing. And especially if you're in any of those sketchy states that are trying to secede from the union, I'm not about that life. But anyway, my point is, I love that people are being a lot more forward. I think it's great. There's no guessing. And so that's been kind of fun, to a fun development to have experienced. I'm still really out of shape. I'm talking about health right now. It's weird because I'm actually active, but I'm not fit. And so I always joke that I'm Colorado fat and Colorado skinny. So in Colorado, I'm fat. And when I'm outside of Colorado, I'm skinny. It doesn't matter. I'm just not fit. I'm active and not fit. It's driving me crazy. I haven't actually gained too much weight during COVID. I've gained maybe 2 pounds, but I was overweight before I was going into this thing. And now I'm just so over it. So I'm really looking forward to getting in shape, and I've taken some steps to do that. So I'm really looking forward to it. Money, money, money. So recently I've realized that I made a huge, and I mean a huge, mistake with money. And I've been making this mistake for about 2 years. And basically, the mistake was that I'd stopped working on my money mindset. I'm one of those people who really does need to focus on a daily money practice. There's some people who just, they're just really good with their mindset and their habits, and they're zeroed in. And I'm one of those people that just, I have to constantly be mindful of what's going on in my head. And that if I'm not, if I take my eye off the ball, I slip up a little bit, like maybe I'll overspend or whatever. And so that is something that I realized was a problem, because it shows up in actually my business. And so where this is a problem is believing in income growth in particular. So I realized that I was making that habit. Despite this concern, though, and I should also say, even though I've made a lot of progress with money in the past few years, the mindset piece to me is the most significant piece you have to focus on. And I probably would have done much better with everything I was working on if I focused on money mindset in addition to I'm paying off debt. Again, despite the concern I've just shared, I've had a pretty solid year financially during a time when many people have struggled. It's an awkward truth that people in tech, personal finance, and a few other fields in particular have really been in demand because people need help, because we're using tools and resources in a different way, and because we've been in these spaces for a while, so we have these skills ready to be used at this time. I've made more money, a lot more easily than I ever have in past 5 years since I started working for myself. I didn't need to access any of the resources made during the pandemic. This was a total blessing. The only thing that I did have access to was that $1,000 grant for small businesses. And that was a grant that was wonderful. And I applied for it on a little bit on a whim, and I was blessed with it. My slow ass debt repayment journey. And this year, I understood that it was worth every painful day prior to this year, because the 1 year where I didn't want to have the kind of stress that I'd been living under for so long, would have been the year that I wouldn't have wanted to be freaking out. And so for those of you who are like, I'm just beginning my journey, I'm freaking out, start, be kind to yourself. Don't be mad at the choices that you've made. Don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself love and empathy, because it's taken a long time for me to hit this point. And life goes up and down. We're in a real crazy moment right now, but then things will go back up and things will go back down again. And so if you start right now, my point is that the next time some stuff hits the fan, you'll be in a better position. And so I am really thankful that I stuck to my guns and I was like, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to clean this mess up. And it was a huge relief and a whole bunch of stress off my shoulders during a year that was incredibly, incredibly stressful. So slow-ass debt repayment journeys for the win. I stopped working side hustles and entirely worked on making money with my business. Now, this is interesting because I brought it up in the last couple of years. I'm like, well, you know, maybe I should stop doing my side hustles. And I brought it up a couple times. But I'd been dragging my feet on doing that because in the back of my mind, I was just kind of nervous about letting that money go. And I actually liked the people that I worked my side hustle with. So that was one of the things. But I did need the money, and it was actually a distraction from focusing on my business, and it took time away from my business. COVID, interestingly enough, forced my hand on making that decision because there was no choice. The side hustles I was doing, you couldn't do anymore. It was not an option, and I was perfectly fine. And that was a really great experience. I would also like to share briefly some thoughts on slow fire. COVID has reinforced my belief that slow fire is the way. My quest for time freedom and professional autonomy led me on this path starting in 2015, simplifying my financial life by continuing to live small, paying off debt, keeping things simple, focusing on diversifying my income, and understanding truly what I value has been really beneficial during this time. I am actually working on my place now. It should not surprise anyone that my place needs a lot of work done. So I've started doing, and friends who visited, they're like, oh my God. So I've begun doing an entire DIY of my entire place because eventually I'd like to rent it out. I cannot rent it out the way that I've been living in it. And also it just needs the love. So it's been a lot of fun kind of working through what room I'm going to do next and what project. And I'm literally working on every single room. Right now I'm working on the bathroom. I am hoping to get that done this week. I kind of slowed down. But then once the bathroom is done, I'll do my laundry nook and then so on and so forth. And it's taken me forever, but what else is going on? I have nowhere to go. So it's been a lot of fun working on my small place. And there have been times when I've been like, well, I never intended to actually live in it this long. Like I wanted to rent it out, but it's worked out. It's worked out fine. And when it's time for me to go abroad, because that is definitely in my future, I will rent my place out as either a long-term rental or a rental for nurses. I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to do it, but I have some thoughts and I'm working on it now. Entrepreneurship during 2020, this year. Oh my God. So 3 years ago into my self-employment entrepreneurship journey, I kind of noticed some things. So I noticed that I worked hard for a significant part of the year, but that by the end of October, I just wanted to relax. Actually, in looking back at my professional life working at the university, it was the same way. Like January through October, I was like, boom, I killed it. And then by the end of October, I was like, I'm over all of you guys. I just want to relax and watch Christmas movies and drink eggnog and just wear leggings. Like, that's all I want to do. And I found that I also was stressed out in the last previous to this year, last couple of years. I didn't enjoy having one main stream of income. That really stressed me out. And I decided that I'm the designer of my business. So I had the latitude to design the business of my dreams. That makes sense. So about 3 years ago, I made a commitment to really diversify my income and work a 10-month year. And this was something that actually wasn't unique to me. I'm in a mastermind. My mastermind group members also were working towards the same thing. They were like, we're tired by the end of October. We've got kids. We've got things going on. We want to take trips. And so all of us were committed to working a 10-month year. And that is something that I love. And this is outside of any other vacations and things that I would do in the other part of the year. My goal is to get 12 months worth of work done from January to October and then chill. Seriously, it's my business. At the same time, as I was diversifying my income, I dropped some projects and things like that. My income dropped, and that was a little scary because I was, you know, still paying off debt. Not a great time to lower your income. It's now the end of 2020, and oh my God, as an entrepreneur, I am so freaking glad that I diversified my business revenue, that I made the commitment to myself to focus on designing a business that not only served me well, but also served others. One thing I will also say is that in 2019, I trusted my gut not to hold Money on the Mountain in 2020. I held that first inaugural event, and then I was like, whoa, this is a lot. This is different than hosting events at the university where they're paying for all this. And so I decided to take a year off and really evaluate, is this something I want to do again? And I felt like I needed a year. And thank God I listened to my intuition, because this would have been the most stressful thing ever to try to run that event during this year, clearly. So I'm glad that I listened to my intuition. So if you're an entrepreneur out there thinking, kind of pushing against your gut, don't listen to your gut. Finally, in 2020, I was able to live off passive income from my books, live off passive income from course sales. I actually relaunched my course during April because I wanted to try a different model, and quickly discovered that a couple of things. I discovered that, yes, you can make sales even during crazy times. I also discovered that for this new iteration of my Make Money with eBooks course, that the pricing was off and I needed to charge more. And then also the good thing about launching that course in the way that I did, I had a beta group. I got some great feedback about things that I could add to it. So I'm really excited to relaunch the course. It's never not been launched, but to really focus on selling it again, which I didn't quite do this year because students take energy. And I found that I only had so much this year, and that I was glad that I didn't push the course as hard as I could have. It just wasn't in me for that, to do that this year. I found myself coaching people a lot more this year and validating a coaching product that I'm finally, for the love of God, releasing in 2021. So definitely I will give you info on that in my next couple of episodes. But that was great because I wasn't sure if I should coach, but I figured out the right thing that I wanted to coach, what people were asking me about, and I feel like it's the right time. And I feel like I have the confidence. I'm pretty confident, but to coach and to charge what I'm really feeling like I need to charge for it to be, to make sense for me to do, that's, you know, those are two different conversations. So I had to believe. I had a lot of lucrative freelance writing this year, and I didn't pitch any of my new clients. And what I mean by that is this was the first year that I was referred to, or rather people reached out to me to be a writer for them consistently. So before, I was always doing a lot of pitching, not like a ton, but I was pitching. This year, I basically did not pitch. I think maybe I pitched twice. And it was because they had a call for pitches. It wasn't me looking for projects to work on. So that was great. It was great having people come to me instead of me always trying to come to people. Does not mean that I won't pitch aggressively, especially at the beginning of the year, but it just changed how I felt about me and what I could offer other people. This year, I grew my brand in a way that is true to me and staying true to my belief system. So by that, what I mean is I have been sharing my personal beliefs as they relate to money, policy, and politics. I think that's important. And during a year like this in particular, that authenticity in a brand and a personal finance brand is so important. We actually saw a number of people and brands that go through a literal existential crisis because they didn't share their beliefs and values from day number one and really caught people off guard or pissed people off or turned them off because people were like, we didn't know this about you or we are not in alignment. And I understood that. I've always kind of shared my viewpoints on a lot of things since day number one. And so I didn't really see any change in my audience or anything. It grew. And I think that if you are nervous about being authentic, sooner or later, you're going to, if you're not being as authentic as you should probably be, sooner or later, you're going to slip and people are going to see. And it's going to put people off. And so just be who you are. I won the Plutus Award for best current events related content related to personal finance. And that was, again, a nod to what I just mentioned, which was being candid about what I believe and what I think affects people and their wallets and their lives. And so when I shared that episode, a conversation about race, these thoughts weren't new to other people who knew me, right? Like I was consistent and I shared them. I discovered that while I'm really good at saying no, I'm pretty good at saying no to projects and things that don't serve me well. I actually need to say no even more than I had been. And I realized that because I found myself saying yes to things that I just didn't have the energy for, where normally, oh yeah, no issue. But this year I felt, wow, I need to be a lot more protective of my energy. And I made the mistake of saying yes to things I just really shouldn't have. And I won't do that again. I spoke at Camp Phi Colorado Springs, which was a wonderful experience. I will say it was a little scary going because it was in July of this year and we still weren't 100% clear on what the hell was going on with COVID. The cool thing was we basically were outside most of the day and I wore my mask and I felt comfortable because I was only 45 minutes from my house. So I knew what to expect in the state that I was in because I was only 45 minutes from my house. But I had a wonderful experience speaking at Camp Phi Colorado Springs. And I have been signed on to speak at Camp Phi Joshua Tree next year in October. I can't wait. I'm super excited about that event. So I hope to see you there. Financial Allies, by the way, played a huge role in my business this year, as well as me being a financial ally for other people. Action versus performative allyship was the name of the game this year. And I've been quite honestly, really blessed with friends and colleagues who've always had this as a part of their business and area of focus. Like this is not new for us, but people stepped it up a notch and I am forever grateful to them for getting me in front of opportunities to make money and to stay financially well. Again, work a 10-month year. I've never been excited about working a 12-month year. Like I said earlier, what in the hell is the point in creating your own business that is designed like your old office life? That doesn't even make sense to me. And I've never been excited about crushing it at the end of the year, so I don't. All I want to do is order some lounging clothes and drink some eggnog, make some mimosas and relax. That's where I'm at. And that's always where I'm at this time of year. Why am I going to pretend anything else? It's like pretending that I'm a morning person. I am not a morning person. I don't like dealing with people in the morning. So some things you just have to be honest about. Well, that is a wrap for 2020. I am so excited to rest for the next couple of weeks and just ease on out of this year. I have a lot planned for 2021 and 2022. I'll spill the tea in my first episode of 2021. Until then, take care of yourself, be safe, wear a mask. Happy Chris Mahana Kwanzaa, and I'll talk to you soon.